Let's get our Bibles open, all right? Psalm 118 is today's song in God's playlist for the soul. God gave us songs, 150 of them in this big compilation called the Psalms. Now, there's even more than that throughout the Bible, different songs that different great people of faith sang to rejoice in the Lord. And this Psalm 118 is one that particularly ministers to the soul. And I hope it will minister to yours today. This one is a lyric, Psalm 118, that the nation of Israel loved to sing. When David brought the built the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, they sang this song at the dedication of that. When Solomon built the temple and dedicated it and brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, they sang this song. In many times of victory, in times of redemption, in times when God met the people in specific ways, this is the song they sang. Isn't it fascinating? I mean, when I turn on my oldies channel, you know, I get songs from the 60s or 70s. How about turning on your oldies channel and getting a song from 4,000 years ago? That's what this song is like. And think about the melody that came out of the people of Israel as David led the people. And he himself began to sing these lyrics. Or as the people gathered for the Passover in the New Testament. And those voices began to be raised, singing Psalm 118. It's a powerful, powerful thing to think that these lyrics have been sung to our Lord God over the generations. Now, this song is a particularly interesting one, and it builds a great bridge from Thanksgiving to Christmas time, because it starts out with giving thanks, but it gives thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. And then it begins to talk about the Messiah. This psalm is referenced specifically 7 times in the New Testament, and over 20 times it's either quoted exactly or referred to in the New Testament. This is one of the most messianic psalms in the entire compilation of the 150 songs. Jesus himself in Matthew 21:42 quoted this song when he's being resisted by the Pharisees, and he says, the cornerstone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Jesus himself quoted these words when speaking to those Pharisees. And what gets even more interesting is that this psalm takes us on a journey through the works of our Lord Jesus Christ. It starts out with his goodness and his love for us. It moves from there to letting us know that he's near and close to us. From there, if we know he loves us and he's near, then he's our victory and he's our strength. Into he's our eternal security. And then today he's our salvation. So 5 distinct sections are sung as we go through this psalm together. So let's dive into it. Let's ask the Lord first to just fill us with songs of thanksgiving and praise today for who our God is. And let's join with the generations, thousands of years of generations that have sung these same words. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to somehow catch the same exuberance and joy in who you are. The same joy that King David had, that King Solomon had, that the prophets had, that the disciples and apostles had, and on throughout the years that this Psalm 118 sings. Let us get our souls refreshed today by this song from your playlist. Lord, we love you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read the psalm together. If you have your Bible, Psalm 118. And, you know, when I read the song, I like to read it out loud. Now, of course, I'm reading it out loud to you so you can hear. But maybe read it out loud as I go along wherever you are, in your home or even on the patio. All right, let's sing it together or say it together. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and he brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You know, this song is particularly meaningful to me. For back in 1987, my father was near death. He had a near-fatal motorcycle accident, and he was in a coma for 6 weeks. And a pastor friend of his that he had known since the 50s came and began to minister to him. And the Lord gave him this Psalm 118, verse 17, when it says, "You will not die, but you will live and proclaim the Lord." The song refreshes our heart. And every single one of us, though we may pass from this earth, we will pass from this earth one day. We will not die. We will proclaim the Lord's favor for all of eternity. Let's jump in. I want to give you the five components of this song to refresh our souls today. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Why? Number one, because his love endures forever. Verses 1-4, God is good. You realize God is good? You know, not everybody believes that. There are many who think God is not good because life gets tough, because things around them are hard, because things didn't go the way they planned, that they think God must not be good because things aren't going my way. Well, let me tell you this morning. Things may not be going your way, but they're going God's way, and God is good. His love does endure forever. He is not absent. He is not ambivalent. He is not fickle. He is not distracted. He is not too busy to notice where you are. He is not overwhelmed. He is not apathetic. God is good. And you know, when you realize God is good, everything around, as the old hymn says, grows strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Things that are not good become less important, less dominant, less overwhelming when I realize, wait a minute, God is good. So if God is good, there's something good here, right now, even in a devastating circumstance. Would you say it with me? God is good. Say it again, maybe a little louder. God is good. He's a good father. And he loves us because he's good. His love endures forever. That word love is the word hesed. It means an unfailing love. And that love is tied to action. It's tied to his covenant. It's not an emotional, just purely affectionate love. It's a love that's tied to his promises. It's a love that's tied to the oaths that God has made. It's not a fleeting or an emotional love that where you feel it today and don't feel it tomorrow. No, his love is tied to his behavior. It's a covenant love. It's the covenant love that keeps his commitments no matter what the cost. And we know how great a cost Jesus paid on the cross. This is a love that puts itself under a self-imposed obligation to save no matter what the price, no matter what the pain. And Jesus paid that kind of price for us. This is tough love. This is a love that turns up no matter how bad the call. This is love that is substantial and it's present all the time. You know, some just don't know or don't think that God loves them. Some think that God is either somewhere else or he's just missed them altogether or that he just doesn't care. You know, those that don't know he loves them, that's tied to a lack of knowledge. But there are some who know who God is but still think somehow, some way that he doesn't love them. And that's tied just to some kind of extreme, you know, self-absorption. And I don't mean that in a cocky kind of way. I mean that our guilt and our pain and our shame can so overwhelm us that it can mask and even kind of make God's love seem absent or obscured. You know, God's love can pull you out of that this morning. I know the holiday time can be very, very difficult for people. Maybe this is a first holiday that you're celebrating and there's that loved one that's not here for the first time. Or because of pandemic restrictions, you're having to be separated from people that you care about. God's love can pull you out of that. We can panic and we can get very, very just worried about where is his love? Let me tell you this morning, let God's love pull you out. Just Friday morning, day after Thanksgiving, my little grandson Luke, he's 2.5. And he and I took a little grandson adventure over to Stevens Creek. And it's just a few blocks from here. And we were walking along the creek, and it runs right next to Blackberry Farm Golf Course. And so people mishit their balls, and we were picking golf balls out of the creek and throwing rocks in the creek and watching the splashes and just having fun. And I had reminded him a couple of times, you know, Luke, don't get too close to the water. You know, we don't want to fall in. And we're walking and having fun, and of course, as you're already ahead of me on this one, I turned my attention just for a moment away, and I heard the splash. And it was a different splash. It wasn't the splash of a stone, and yeah, I turned around, and poor little guy had slipped on a rock, and he was sideways down into the water, and of course, he began to cry. But the cry was not a cry of, I'm hurt, or a cry of, I'm wet. When I looked in his eyes, it was a cry of, oh no, Grandpa's going to be mad. I scooped him up, loved on him. And you know how he stopped crying like that. As soon as he realized I loved him, his tears stopped. As soon as he realized I wasn't mad. Matter of fact, we chuckled and said, oh man, look at you. And we laughed. I took a couple of pictures of him. God's not mad at you. He loves you. And just because you might be a little muddy and wet in your life, you might have made some mistakes, and you think because God's word says don't do it, but you did it anyway, that God is now ready with the hammer, and he's going to smash you good. Now, don't get me wrong. God does discipline when we disobey, but it's a loving discipline. It's a discipline that says this is going to hurt you. Let's not do it again. But God's love is not absent. God's love is there, and no matter where you are, God's love is with you. How much does God love? We switch over to the New Testament, to maybe the greatest verse in the Bible, in John chapter 3, verse 16, when we know what it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's action love. That's way more than emotion. That's, I'm going to do something for the people that I'm passionate about, and he gave his life. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We need to give thanks to God's love, for God did what love does. Number two, Give thanks to the Lord, because the Lord is always with me. The Lord is always with me. Verses 5-9. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere man do to me, or mere mortals do to me? You see, we may not think God loves us because we don't feel God is near us. For so many that have the love language of quality time, with me equals loves me. And if God appears as if he's not there, then it appears that he doesn't love us. God loves us, therefore he's with us. God's with us because he loves us. And some don't know God loves them. A lot of those same people don't know God is with them. They think he's afar off. And they cry out when it hurts, God, where are you? God, where'd you go? I thought you'd be with me. I thought you were going to be right beside me. Well, you know, if we just look up and look around, we'll see that God is with us. You know, this is why that great poem that's been around now for decades, the poem about the footprints, is so popular and is so beloved. Why? Because it reminds us that when we thought he wasn't with us, he really was. And right now, a lot of you need to know that what you think is an absence in God's place is not true. He's with you. No matter what, no matter when, no matter how, he's with you. If God is omnipresent, he can't not be with you. It's an impossibility theologically and physically for God not to be with you. When we get alone, we get afraid. It's just the way it is. Aloneness, a lot of times, equals fear. And a lot of us have been isolated. And I don't mean just pandemic-related isolation. I mean soul isolation. And some, even physical isolation. Remember when you used to have bad dreams when you were a kid? I do. I remember having nightmares and, you know, seeing monsters on the wall when it was just the shade of the trees, reflecting on the wall. And as soon as mom or dad would come into the room, no more nightmares. Because together equals security. Aloneness, for many of us, equals fear. I don't know why. I don't watch a lot of scary movies. I don't like scary movies. It's not entertaining for me to get all keyed up, but I know a lot of folks like them. But one thing I know about scary movies, and I don't get it, whenever the person who's being chased is going through the house, they're alone, why don't they ever turn on the lights? They always leave the light. Never made any sense to me. They always leave the lights off. You know, when you turn on the light and you can see that you're not alone, that God is with you, the fear goes away. Fear is a giant when you're alone. And you know what you need when there's a giant around you? You need a bigger giant. That's what you need. You need somebody bigger than the giant of the fear. And God is that giant. He's bigger than your fear. He's bigger and he's stronger. Back, I don't know, maybe 40 or something years ago, one of my favorite movies growing up was called My Bodyguard. If you ever can find it somewhere on Netflix or Prime or something, find the movie. It's a great movie. And it's about a young guy and his friend who are in school. And there's a bully in school. And he's got a little gang of bullies. And they just pick on everybody. They bug people and they humiliate them. And this young guy who gets bullied a lot has an idea. What I need is a bodyguard. That's what I need. And so he finds another kid who's even a bigger kid than the bully. And he, through a manipulation, gets that bigger kid to be his bodyguard. And suddenly, he's no longer afraid. Now, there's other things that happen in the movie, but the point is, you need something bigger than the fear. And right now, I want to tell you, God is your bodyguard. God is the God who's bigger. He's never going to leave you. He's never off somewhere else. He's right here, right now. He's a big, big, great, loving Father. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If God is for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors. We who are in Christ Jesus. That's big talk. That's bigger than fear talk. That's bigger than the alone talk. Our fears don't stand a chance when we're standing in his love. We sang that this morning. Lay hold of it. Claim it. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Jesus, He became the God who's with us. The scripture says this, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's with you today. He loves you and he's with you. We can give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You don't have to go around in the dark anymore. Number three, give thanks to the Lord because the Lord is my victory. If God is good and he loves you, and if God is with you, then we got nothing to worry about. The victory is ours. Psalm 118, 14 to 15. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. You know, Jesus knows the end of the story. And this is one of those stories that it's okay to read the last chapter first. Let me just give you permission. Go ahead, read the end. Read it first. Read it a lot. Read it regularly. Read it when you're down. Read it when you're up. Read it when you're fearful. Read it when you're discouraged. Read it when you're depressed. Read it when you're feeling overwhelmed. Read it when the busyness is too crazy. Read it when you've had a loss. Read it when you're feeling like there's no hope. Read the end of the story. It's a guaranteed outcome. This is the way things are going to end. And let me remind you, how things end is with Jesus on the throne and all of God's people with him forever. That's the end of the story. We get through this. And I know things get kind of, you know, like quicksand sometimes, that we're just not going to make it. And we feel like we're sinking down. But the end is that there is a rescue. There's a rescue every time. You don't get overwhelmed. You don't get overtaken. You don't lose it all. You get to reign in victory with our Lord Jesus Christ forever. All this COVID stuff, gone. All the violence and crime and craziness, gone. All the politics, gone. Gone. It's going to end. It's going to end. We just need to persevere. Doesn't mean you won't have hard times here. What it does mean is the hard times won't last. That's what that means. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, I have told you these things. And he was talking about the troubles to come. I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's past tense. I've overcome the world. Now, I will overcome the world. It's a done deal. I have overcome the world. He's told us these things so that we'll have peace. In the midst of the hard times, while things are going crazy, he's overcome the world. God, you've told me these things so that I might have peace. If that's true, then I'm going to have peace. I'm going to take heart. I love that phrase. I've been meditating on it now for a number of years. And I actually say it. I actually said it last night. I've got to take my heart. I've got to take a hold of this thing because it's bugging me. And that's when I found out the news that there's some greater restrictions coming up on Tuesday. Sandra and I were preparing to take a vacation out of state next week. And we're going to go. And of course, we're safe and all that. But we, you know, felt freedom to do that until we found out that as of Tuesday, there's a mandatory 2-week quarantine for anyone who travels 150 miles beyond their home. And I got frustrated. And just like that, my peace was gone because my vacation suddenly got flipped on its head. And I'm going through all the scenarios about what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it anyway. And my, you know, stubbornness is all, you know, getting riled up. And in my spirit, I had these notes literally on my computer while this news is coming and I'm reading, take heart. I've given you these things so that you'll have peace. And it took me a little bit. Sandra and I had to talk it out. It took me a few minutes, but until I settled down and said, okay, this is what we need to do. This is the right thing. There'll be more vacations. There'll be more opportunities. We're going to not, you know, violate things and try to manipulate it. We're just going to keep our integrity intact, and we're going to do the right thing. Now, I know this is a one percenter problem. I get it. That this is kind of, oh yeah, too bad. You know, you got to reschedule a little getaway. I know that there's a lot of people having so much more greater issues than that. But the principle is the same. No matter what the trouble is, no matter how you measure the trouble, God says, take heart. I'm trying to give you peace. I've overcome the world. I have a victory for you. And you know, we need to practice taking heart when the things aren't so huge, so we'll be able to take heart when they are huge. And every one of us is going to face the whole spectrum of difficulties in our lifetime. We've got to practice that and take heart. You know, the apostles practiced that, and they took heart when they suffered persecution, even unto martyrdom. They rejoiced because they realized, wait a minute, I can take heart. He's overcome the world, and I can rejoice that I'm worthy to suffer for the name. I'm thankful my God loves me. I'm thankful my God is near me. And I'm thankful my God has written the end of the story already. And he let us know what the end of the story is, that he wins, he's the victor, and that we can have peace today because we know where we're headed. Number four, give thanks to the Lord because the Lord is my eternal home. Verse 19 to 24. The end of the story is that we have an eternal home. You know, I've been dwelling on heaven for quite a bit, for a while now. There's a lot of folks for a certain amount of time that says, you know, oh, those people who think about heaven a lot, their heads up in the clouds, and they're not even really useful for people down here. They're so anxious to get out of here. Listen, let me tell you what. The Bible calls heaven our blessed hope for a reason. It talks about heaven a lot for a reason, to give us a hope. And we need that to get us through the hard times. I'm anxious to see Jesus face to face. We need to think about what's ahead of us, more, not less, to give us strength to persevere. You know, when I think of what's ahead of us, I can endure anything. When I think of the real end, I can get through anything. And we need that for our motivation. Psalm 118, 19 to 24 says, open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What day are we rejoicing and being glad in? The day when we get to walk through the gates and meet Jesus face to face. That's the day we can rejoice and be glad in. Because we can rejoice and be glad for that day, we can rejoice and be glad today. I can rejoice today because I know there's going to be a day. Oh, thank God there's going to be a day, because I don't want to think about this day anymore. Maybe you're having those tough days. Maybe it's been really rough. Rejoice and be glad, because this day is going to end. It's going to pass. There's going to be a sunset and another sunrise tomorrow. And that day may be hard too, but that day is going to have a sunset and then a sunrise. And after a number of those days, one day called today, we'll see Jesus face to face. It's going to happen. That's the day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. We can rejoice because there'll be a lot of rejoicing for us in that parade. The Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses that surrounds, and there's going to be a parade. And think about what it's going to be like. We've got to think about this because it'll give you hope. That day when we walk through the gates, one of those big swinging pearls that Revelation talks about will open wide, and we get to walk through in that procession. And in that procession will be the cheering crowds. And we're going to recognize some of those people. There may be Joseph cheering as we walk through. We go, Joe, nice coat. You know, like it. Really kind of elaborate. I like that coat though. And we might see David. David, nice slingshot. You have to teach me how to use that thing. I want to see Samson someday and go, Samson, dude, nice hair. Boy, that looks good. But, you know, I wish I had some. And I'll turn to Elijah and say, yeah, we're brothers. We go to the same barber, you know, me and Elijah. And then there'll be Paul and Peter and the rest of the disciples. And then there'll be Wycliffe and Calvin and Luther and Wesley and Graham. And they'll be there. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice as our day. It's time to come in. What a day. That's not a myth. That's not a pipe dream. That's not some kind of a religious, you know, feel good story just to let us get through another day. No, that's reality. He's going to come again. Jesus said this in John 14, 1 through 6. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's Jesus saying, you know, I'm not lying to you. I don't got my fingers crossed behind my back. If it was a lie, I'd just tell you the truth right now. It ain't going to happen. But he said, no, it is going to happen, or else I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that where I am, there you may be also. You know the way to where I am going. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's Jesus' promise. The Jesus who is good, the Jesus who is with you, the Jesus who is your victory is the Jesus who's promised our eternal home. Aren't you excited? Doesn't that give you joy today? We got to take heart and realize that's our destiny. And last, give thanks to the Lord because he is my salvation right now. Verse 25 to 29. Oh Lord, save us. Oh Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Psalm 118, 25 to 26. And those words should be memorable, or they should, you know, tweak a little bit in your mind. They're the same words that the Jews cried out as Jesus, riding on the donkey, passed into the city of Jerusalem, John 12, 13, when they said, Hosanna, the same words of, oh Lord, save us. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord, save us now. Brilliant words, beautiful words, true words. Because he does save us, but oh, so manipulative. As those same voices who are crying out, Lord, save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Just days later, we're shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Aren't we the fickle ones? Aren't we the ones who can turn on a dime when we don't get what we want? How we can be the ones who say, God, I love you on Sunday. God, where are you on Monday? God, fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm standing in your love. And by Wednesday, Lord, where are you? You don't love me at all. God is here to save. But God is not here to bow down to you. God is not present to worship you. God is God. And we give thanks to the Lord, for he is God and he is good and his love endures forever. And he is our present God and he is our strong, victorious God. And he is the God who gives us an eternal dwelling place. And he is the God who is our salvation. And that same God came to earth in Jesus Christ. And he taught us and he gave us promises of the future. And then he went to the cross and he died for us that we might bow to him. He doesn't bow to us. And so many times we want him to bow to us. God, this is what I want. And if you don't give it to me, I'll go find another God to worship. God cannot be manipulated. And God won't be coerced. He's God. Jesus didn't come to pacify us. He didn't come to enable us. And here's what I know. If God never answers one more prayer in my life or in your life, he's still worthy to be worshiped and served. If God never blesses you one more time in your life, he is still worthy to be worshiped. If God does nothing but allow hardships from this day until eternity, he is still worthy to be worshiped for what he's done on the cross. God is here to be worshiped because he's our God. And if we strip it all down, he's not worshiped for what he has done. He's worshiped for who he is. He's not worshiped for what he can give to us or how he can bless us or how he can wrap life up in some kind of nice little neat box and bow. He's God. And he demands our praise by who he is, by his sheer majesty. Psalm 118 is our song for the soul. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He's the God who's with us. He's the God who's victorious. He's the God who's promised us eternity. And he's the God who can save you now. Why wouldn't you let him save you now? Why wouldn't you turn like the prodigal son and say, what am I thinking? At least with my father, there's joy in the house. I can get a meal. I can be warmed. Why wallow in the grief and in the pain and in the isolation and in the frustration of your own stubbornness when you can turn to him and say, Lord, save me now. And when you do, he will. He will. He'll save you now. It's as easy as ABC. It really is. A, acknowledge that he is the God who is over all, and he is the God to be worshipped. God, you are God, and I'm not God, but you are. Believe. B, believe that he loves you and that he died on the cross because he loves you so much. And that death on the cross will wash away all your sin. Believe that. And C, confess that he is now your Lord and Savior. God, I believe who you are. I believe you've forgiven me by your work on the cross. I confess you are my Lord, and I will follow you. Why wouldn't you? Let me just ask, is anything else working? Is politics working? Is military might working? Is the latest, psychological, philosophy working? Is the latest self-help book working? Well, you might get a little warm and fuzzy for an hour or two, depending on if you like the new election or don't like the election. If you like it, maybe give you a couple years of satisfaction. It won't last, never does. Why wouldn't you? What's working for you now? Our best on this world has gotten us to where we are, and it's not pretty. Why not let God's best pull you out of that and give you joy and give you the security of eternal life? I want to pray with you right now. And if you want to receive Jesus today, go to the prayer and connection part of our website and write on that card that you would like to know more about what it means to follow Jesus. The Jesus who's a good God. He loves you. Who's near. He's with you. He's a victorious, strong God. And he's got a blessed hope. That's the God that'll save you today. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you're the God that when we slip and fall, you're right there to scoop us up. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that people all over the country, some even overseas that are watching right now, Father, that you would just invade their space, invade their hearts, invade their minds with your truth, and let them know that you are the God who is riding into their lives, and all we need to do is cry out, save us now. Blessed is he who comes, because you're coming for us. All we need to do is reach out and let you save us. God, I pray that you touch every heart right now. You'd strip away any kind of resistance to acknowledge you, to believe you, and to confess you. God, I thank you that you are a good God and your love endures forever. I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Lifers, God is, he loves us more than we could ever imagine. I hope this is your day. And if you've already accepted Christ, I hope this is the day that you renew that first love. And that wherever you're going through, you'll turn to him and see that he's your great salvation. Instead of finishing with our Revelation verse this morning, I'd like to read the very last verses, verse 28 and 29 of this great, great psalm. And let's remember it all week. Let's read it together. Psalm 118, 28 and 29 as our benediction verses. Let's say it together, shall we? You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. God bless you, lifers. I hope to see you tonight in our Advent Zoom call, 6:30 to 7:15. Get the link on our website. We'll see you then. Let's celebrate the hope of Jesus Christ tonight. He is God. Let's give him glory.